Hello and welcome to Bitches on Comics. I'm your host, S.E. Fleenor, and thank you for joining us for these flashback files. Right now, Bitches on Comics is on hiatus while we sort out some personal matters and get to work behind the scenes, making sure we can come back strong very soon. These flashback files are our opportunity to share with you some of the amazing work we've been doing over on Patreon. We're so happy to be back and so glad you've joined us. Please stick around for this flashback file where we share an episode that originally appeared on our Patreon. We would like to thank all our patrons and all our supporters who've been there for us through this whole amazing podcast. And if you haven't joined us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/queerspec. On behalf of Sarah Century, Monica Estrella Negra, Kate Warner, and Supriya Saxena, I'm S.E. Fleenor, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Hey everyone, welcome to Mediums of Horror, a podcast series within a series brought to you by Bitches on Comics. My name is Sarah Century, and I'm here to walk you through some of the creators, curators, and critics pushing the limits of the horror world. This episode, we're talking about narrative horror podcasting. Joining me today are the creators behind the narrative horror podcast Wrong Station. This show takes inspiration from classic horror radio, including shows like Quiet Please and Lights Out. Utilizing the specific strengths in the way that horror and sound interact, Wrong Station creates works that are both in conversation with horror history and looking forward to a patently weirder future. This podcast is going into its sixth season with more than 80 episodes behind it. I'll let the creators introduce themselves.
My name is Alexander Saxton. I'm one of the creators and writers on Wrong Station.
I'm Anthony Botello. I am also one of the creators of Wrong Station. I also am one of the writers, the principal narrator, and do a lot of our editing and directing.
My name's Jacob. I am one of the writers and producers, and that's me.
Check the show notes for info on where you can find Anthony, Alexander, and Jacob, but you can also find all of these links and more at wrongstation.com. One of the first things I always wonder about audio horror is how the showrunners approach the casting process. How do they choose the actors that bring these stories to life at Wrong Station?
Yeah, well, I mean, how casting goes for this show is I message people and be like, hey, you got an hour?
We're in blind panic because we need an episode this week. And
I personally work in, not so much the last 2 years, but I work in theater. So I've had the chance to, you know, meet a bunch of lovely theater actors over the over my time doing that. And yeah, it's just always great to, you know, bring them in and, you know, bring in someone that you know, who's a friend and who, like, you read the script and you're like, oh, I think this would be perfect for you.
So what's everybody's background with horror? What made it be a field that you were interested in working in?
For me, I think I came to horror pretty late in life. My younger experiences with horror were always in fantasy and science fiction, but I was never seeking out horror in and of itself. I came to horror because when I was in my 20s, I was writing on a TV show called The Beaverton, and it was kind of my dream job at the time. It was this job writing political news satire for a late night show. At first it was really exciting and really creatively rewarding, and just over the course of the first couple of years, I realized how helpless it made me feel. It really felt like, you know, eventually I'd spent 5-6 years writing this kind of material, and it just felt like you were throwing important, meaningful points out into the void and getting no response in the world. It just seemed like you could make true prophecies so many times. Like, you would write an article and then 2 years later something like that would happen in the real world. And it felt like you were just this sort of Cassandra. And so eventually I found myself getting really burned out on comedy. I found myself kind of unable to write a joke eventually. And so when Anthony and I were sort of both between projects in between seasons of the show, and he was recording some horror stories just and releasing them on YouTube, the idea of doing something in horror felt really new and fresh and creatively exciting for me. It felt like an opportunity to tell the truth in a way that comedy wasn't letting me do anymore. I didn't feel like I could express truths about the world that felt meaningful and deep and rich in comedy anymore. And so horror felt like it just opened up all of these opportunities and avenues to be honest and not to cloak the negative emotions I was feeling in this veneer of humor. So I found that really, really fulfilling and refreshing. And I found that it was kind of easy to write too, because at the end of the day, I think horror is kind of comedy and vice versa. Yeah, a good horror story, and this is something that we find a lot in Wrong Station, a good horror story is kind of just a joke played straight. I think about half of the stories that I write are ones where I just feel sort of, you know, the grinding horror of existence and have to write about it. But then the other half of the stories that I write are like Anthony and I or Jacob and I are joking around, doing dumb bits and dumb voices. And we sort of, we come across a concept for a joke, something that I would have written as kind of like an absurd website article 5 years ago now turns into a horror story. And when you play it straight, it ends up being horrifying. But internally, we always know it's a joke, and it's always a joke to us. And every so often someone will say to me, oh, that story really frightened me. And I always find that really, really funny because...
There's that, this always reminds me of that story Horses, because we talk about this somewhat regularly. Well, something that happened in Horses is Alexander called me at one point because he was like, we were trying to figure out how to end it. We were trying to figure out, like, you know, it was like real nerd shit conversation where we were like, fuck, like, how do we combine the themes and weave them together? We were talking about theme and we were talking about, you know, what are the like three themes of this story? Because like every good story is about three things. And then we were like, so how do we weave them together at the end? And it was sort of about like, you know, the kid who's like a bully. And it's about like the fact that he's like a bully and he's mean, but he can't be mean, but he can't be violent when it's like, his violence doesn't extend towards like an empathetic sort of violence, like putting someone out of their misery. And at the end, and during this conversation, Alexander was like, but we can't have like the horse creature like nuzzle up to the gun and just be like, please kill me, in its like weird monstrous horse voice. But that's exactly how it ends. Like he said that and we both laughed for about 5 minutes because we thought it was so funny, and then that's exactly how the story ends.
Yeah, but basically, you know, you build to a point where you get the punchline, and then because it's a horror story, you have to write like a 300-word denouement where you sort of, you know, explore the themes and the feelings and the repercussions of it. But like, really, if you just ended it right at that point with the like bum 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 ba da 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 da, you've got comedy.
Well, I do edit them, and I am often tempted.
Yeah, there are things that I've loved writing horror for, because there are things that you can't talk about in comedy, because to do that would be glib and gross and disgusting. And then there are the things that I write about in horror that you couldn't write about in comedy because it's too weird.
Well, this is, I guess this often surprises people, but I'm not particularly, I wouldn't consider myself a real horror head. Is that what they call themselves? See, I don't even know the lingo. But much like Alexander, I've always, you know, gravitated towards genre fiction. You know, be that your science fictions and your fantasies. And honestly, I think one of the big dirty secrets about Wrong Station is that it's really more of a weird fiction podcast, to me at least, than a horror podcast. But hey, that doesn't sell. Although I still, of course, horror is included in genre fiction as well. You know, Alexander always brings up that I was doing. It was really just, I read Lovecraft's The Nameless City, and I just recorded it on a lark. Mostly just, you know, something to occupy my time with, but also, you know, just a test, just to get practice using my equipment at the time. And I always forget that, one, I even did that, and two, that Alexander had that in his head when he suggested this, because I just wanted to do something with Alexander. Like he said, we were between projects, and he said, hey, let's do horror podcast. And I was like, okay.
But in my head, I was thinking, ah, there's a voice that people can form a parasocial attachment to.
Yeah, and they I guess they have.
They absolutely have. I got into horror. So something that I don't think people know is that, like, Anthony Alexander and I have been friends for a very long time. Anthony, I met in university, and Alexander also met in university. But Alexander and I have known each other since we were 9 years old, actually. And we've literally, like, our careers have just kind of been in parallel for, like, most of... We're working on the same project right now, like, in a TV project right now. But, you know, we did stand-up for the first time ever together. Like, not on stage at the same time, but on the same night. And we ran a comedy show for 3 years before... And, like, we started the Beaverton at the same time. It was kind of always this, like... We weren't, like, daring each other to do stuff. But, like, there was definitely the sense of, like, if you do it, I'll do it. And it just kind of kept going and going and going. And what's interesting about Wrong Station is it was kind of one of the first times that Alexander did something without any of my involvement. Like, something at a professional level. Obviously, we don't hang out constantly. The one thing I know about Alexander is he writes, like, so fucking fast. And he always has stuff going on. Like, he's writing, he has, like, a book that he's already finished and, like, stuff. I don't know. Anyway. But Alexander, because this was between seasons, Alexander started up doing Wrong Station. And I just, like, did not have time. Like, he asked me, they both asked me, Anthony and Alexander were like, do you want to, like, help out with this? You want to, like, be involved in this? And I was like, I can't do it. I'm getting married. But then after the first two seasons, I finally had a spare moment to listen to the podcast. And I remember very specifically listening to the first episode of the podcast, Family Photos, while walking home up we had a very steep hill. Towards our apartment. So I was walking up and hating it. But while I was walking up this very steep, shitty hill, I was listening to this podcast and I was like, this is fucking awesome. I love this. I love how professional it sounds. I love that the writing just gets to, like, stand out and all of that. And I just started getting into horror in, like, a real way at that point where I'd, like, start listening, like, because I was, like, a huge scaredy cat for years. And I finally was able to start watching horror movies and engaging with horror material in a real way. And once I knew that, like, this was even an option for me to, like, participate in, like, once I was like, oh, they, like, asked me to do this, like, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and now I have time and, like, maybe they'll still want me to. And I, like, asked and they were down. Because, again, like, I was just so blown away by it. I was like, immediately within, like, 15 minutes of the first episode, I was like, oh, yeah, I need to be a part of this. And after that, I just started reading everything I could get my hands on, like, horror wise. I was just like, it was basically, like, nonstop for, like, 3 years, just reading every single thing I could get my hands on.
As noted, Wrong Station is a series that nods to old-time radio, which has a lengthy history all of its own. The subgenre goes back to the early days of radio and has enjoyed a podcast resurgence in recent years through platforms like the No Sleep Podcast, Pseudopod, Nightlight Podcast, and more. This got me to wondering what specific thing in classic horror radio inspired this show.
Yeah, I would say that in general, the show is heavily inspired by, especially Quiet Place, especially the first season is like almost a direct send up some of the episodes because, you know, I think...
the first season of our show, you mean?
First season of our show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, 'cause now I think maybe there was a time where not a lot of people had heard this one, but I think by now a lot of people, you know, if they love radio horror, have listened to The Thing on the Forble Board. And that was listening to that for the first time was incredibly informative of, you know, just that, the style, you know, the beats, the pacing, and just, you know, that sort of, that first person retelling, that sort of candor.
There's a lot of, like, it feels very, like, biblical in a way to me. Where, you know, like, you read, like, a Bible passage and it's like, Methuselah begat Isaiah, Isaiah begat whoever. And it's like, for me, like, even if it's not explicitly linked to the radio format, which it is, like, often very, very much, like, inspired by it, even if some of our episodes are not exactly in the style of Quiet Please, it's still like this, like, well, the, you know, Quiet Please begat The Twilight Zone, and The Twilight Zone begat Richard Matheson, and Richard Matheson begat Stephen King, and, like, this, you know, there's this order to it, And you can trace it backwards so easily and so smoothly that, like, if you're inspired by The Twilight Zone or Outer Limits or whatever, or Night Gallery, you're really inspired by Suspense, Lights Out, Quiet Please. Like, that's really what's happening there. Harlan Ellison and Patton Oswalt became friends. And there's, like, an interview where Harlan Ellison talks about, like, being, like, a kid and hearing the thing on the Forbel board for the first time and being like, what the fuck is going on? Because there was no warnings before these episodes would come on. But, like, it's like you said, it's like this very direct link. There's no question about it that they were all listening to each other and all reading each other.
There's a lot of EC Comics in Wrong Station too. I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot recently because the show that I'm working on right now is about the history of cartoons, and comics is obviously a really important part of that. And I've just been thinking a lot about this hardcover collection of old EC Comics that Jacob loaned me when we were in high school.
And EC, of course, like, again, it's that biblical thing. EC begat Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing begat the Neil Gaiman thing. The pre-code EC Comics stuff is, like, the closest thing. I agree with Alexander. It feels very much like those old radio dramas where there's no warnings ahead of time, because those pre-code things, like, they just did whatever the fuck they wanted. Like, it's gruesome.
So let's talk about the morality of horror, specifically as it plays out in classic horror formats. A lot of the Twilight Zone, EC Comics, and old radio shows tend to have a pretty strong moral at the end, which I find to be pretty comforting in a strange way. Do you find yourself dealing with the classic horror morals in these episodes?
Most fiction writing is really didactic when you boil it down. I think, you know, as much as we like to live in a world of stylistic experimentation and where we like to think that we're not bound by the conventions of the past, I think most writing is really boils down to almost an essay like structure where you have just sort of a character living the argument of an essay rather than an author arguing it.
You know, I think the thing that I like about Wrong Station is, like, I think we lean into the fact that these tales have a moral equation to them. And if you recognize and acknowledge the fact that your stories have a morality, that morality must be present, because that's what happens when you put any sort of positive claim on paper. And by positive claim, I mean, like, any words have some sort of moral component, or they will at the very least be perceived that way, even if they're just random words. So if you're doing that and you acknowledge that, then at the very least you're giving yourself the opportunity to control it and to use it to the ends that you want to use them for. So, like, in a lot of our stories, we have major assholes as our main characters, and nothing bad happens to them at the end except that they're just kind of trapped in their assholery. Like, Roses, I guess, is an example of that, where... but there's, like, honestly, it's, like, every third episode there's something like that, or a character who doesn't deserve to be shat on or exploited or whatever, but it happens anyway. Hunter Hunter, that's a good one.
This is the big internal struggle, though, it's usually like a 2v1, and usually there's some sort of compromise. But my personal feeling is that I like to have a very light touch on that kind of thing, and where it's possible, I am totally fine with a lot of the stuff that I in particular write, allowing people to project their own meaning onto it. And also sometimes, hey, ooh, something weird happened, and that weird thing that happened can mean something, or can it?
Anthony is like always like, it's not, it's just a monster, it's just a whatever, and it's like, Anthony, your monster has the exact wounds of Christ. It's clearly a meaning. It's clearly as a meaning.
Does audio play a significant role in how you write the scripts? Do you find yourself doing a lot of planning around how the lines will read aloud?
A signature of ours are the first person stories where someone is recounting to you something that happened to them or something that they were on the periphery of. And I just think it's so much more personal to hear that voice, whether it's myself or we have a guest in. And yeah, I just think that hearing it, and hearing their tone, and hearing them as they remember what happened, it just makes it like a little bit more real in that moment while you're listening to it.
I think something that's also really important about this is, like, I think people definitely, because of the advent of audiobooks and their incredible popularity, people think that an audiobook and a fiction podcast are the same thing, without acknowledging the fact that, like, they just aren't. Like, if you listen to those old, you know, Quiet Please and everything, like, it's the same situation as you just described, Sarah, where imagining reading that, it's a totally different experience, because what you're reading is a script. It's not a finished product. When you read a short story, you are reading a finished product. When you read a script, you're reading like one third of a finished product, because there's acting, there's directing, there's like all of these other things that are going to be incorporated into that final product that simply aren't there. And I think that when we write episodes of Wrong Station, something that, especially early on, but like less so as we went along, but in the early point in which I joined in, a lot of my notes on scripts and a lot of the notes that I give myself still are notes that are about making this as good for whoever our performer is going to be as possible. Making this, like, always having in my head that this is an audio experience. And that means, for example, shortening a sentence that could be a really wonderful and like lengthy and exciting sentence to read, but it's five lines long, and no performer can like do that.
I want to add in that we do this except when Alexander is writing his science fiction stories that I read.
There's been a couple of science fiction stories that Alexander, I think it was come down to
it
us.
It was come down to us. Yeah. And it was when the person is going down the Schmarrick Weberstrasse, and I was like pulling my hair out, like almost screaming with anger. I was like, Alexander, this sentence is like a paragraph long.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe a little bit different in my approach than Jacob and Anthony, because I usually use a Wrong Station episode as an excuse to try something out. So, well, not usually, but often I'll have read something that I really like and I want to try doing that. And so I try and do like the Wrong Station version of that story. I think that example, Come Down to Us, was kind of my attempt to do something in the style of Mervyn Peake for Wrong Station, which I think is, I can see in retrospect why that would have really put Anthony in a bad situation.
It's a great episode. It's also it's one of our more polarizing ones. Some people love it, and some people have no taste.
What about how to make these stories optimal for an audio format? I think a lot of the time when I'm writing, I want my stories to be genre agnostic. I want to be able to re-release these as a short story and have them look good on the page and read well on the page. But one of the things that I've found is that the writing habits that writing for audio teaches you are just good writing habits generally. I think thinking about what would be kind for your narrator to have to, kind for your narrator to have to read out loud is actually the kind of writing habit that would make your story readable for just an everyday reader. I think, you know, at the core of storytelling is the bones of this spoken word medium. And I think that trying as much as possible to incorporate the rhythms of spoken speech into your writing is just good practice, regardless of what medium you're working in.
Also, just to quickly add, there's so much verbal component that is not the words that are written that also, you know, add to why, you know, in this case, like I think, you know, the audio drama format, the podcast format, is the best thing for this show. You know, just like the ability to pause, the ability to stumble over words, to, you know, for some characters make horrible noises. There's just like that. And the ability for obviously without saying affectation, whether you want to do a character voice per se, there's just I mean it's certainly like, you know, it's great to read these things too, and you know the imagination will fill these things in, but if you have an intent for it, you in this format you can, you know, you can say, well, this is what the character sounds like. So you don't worry about that. Just listen to the story. We're in our rhythm, and it's and like Jacob has said, we are a bit ahead this year. So it's a rhythm I'm personally pretty comfortable with. But you know, we have plotted out the first half of the season. I don't know if there's a broader theme will become apparent. But I don't know if there's anything new to the approach. I think we're just, you know, we're in a good place and we're just trucking along.
I have some, like, personally, I know that something that I have wanted to do for a little while is I really wanted to steer harder into horror elements, because I think that sometimes I will write a story that isn't quite as scary as I want something associated with Wrong Station to be. And I think that, like, something, like, I'm also of the opinion that anything can go on Wrong Station as long as it is wrong, which is a thing that the three of us say to each other, and it's wrong with an E at the end and a capital W. And if you know what it means, then you know. And if you don't, then you probably... Yeah, it's like jazz. It's about the things that aren't wrong.
It's about the things that wrong.
Yeah. The way that I described it to Alexander is like, I always want episodes to... The way I describe wrong to Alexander is like, if you have a knob that you can turn from left to right, in a story that is properly wrong, at the end of the story, that knob will somehow turn north-south, which makes no sense, but still somehow makes sense. But for me, like, I really want to lean into, like, I'm writing a story right now that I think is probably going to be one of the scariest things I've ever written. Alexander and Anthony both felt quite affrighted of it, I think. I want, for me personally, there's also, something pretty experimental I want to do. I'm not going to give more than that. And I guess also the other thing that we still sort of need to figure out is, that our 100th episode is in this season.
I really want to explore some different kinds of storytelling on this season. There are a couple of episodes that I'm trying that are in sort of different storytelling structures from different non-Western cultures. We've got our first episode that is sort of novella length, which is probably going to be a two-parter. I think this season we're stretching a bit and expanding on the kinds of storytelling mechanisms that we've used before in a way that I find really exciting.
Yeah, there's some buck wild awesome shit in this season for sure. And also on the Patreon, which I'm gonna just plug here because on the subject of are we doing anything unusual or interesting? There's always like weird. On the Patreon we tend to like do really unusual stuff. Like every month, for a solid half year, I think I was just writing comedy sketches, but that fit sort of the Wrong Station mold of comedy. For the Patreon, Alexander just released a one page RPG, tabletop role playing game for. Yeah, that's on the Patreon. We've also been adapting and lengthening some of the short stories, some of the episodes into more short story length. And a short story format where Alexander basically jumped into a few of his episodes that he really liked and expanded on them.
I would call the Patreon content very unfiltered in a good way.
Just say buck
real,
wild.
Buck wild.
I broke the seal. You can say
also,
it.
I just want to highlight that, like, you know, same thing as I was saying before, like, themes, whatever. As I said, like, oh, we're just in our rhythm, and Jacob and Alexander are like, we are exploring new storytelling horizons, and I'm just trying to keep the car on the road.
To be fair, that has always been the rhythm of the show, is always us trying out stuff that, because like that's what it is, right? Like we kind of decided like we're not getting, you know, we are getting paid a little bit through the Patreon, but no person is like overseeing this and is like mad at us if we do something that's weird. Like we can, that's part of what why we're doing it in the first place, is it's an opportunity to like stretch our legs, do shit that people maybe wouldn't expect, and is just you know, buck wild. I have to say, it's buck wild.
It's buck wild. Buck what? Wild.
The Wrong Station 6th season is currently underway, and you can find them at thewrongstation.com or on any podcast platform. You can also support their Patreon at patreon.com/wrongstation.
You're listening to Bitches on Comics, distributed by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away. Find more shows like Bitches on Comics by following Realm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at realm.fm.
Thank you for listening to Bitches on Comics. We are a bi-weekly podcast where we talk to your favorite comics and pop culture creators and critics about what matters to them in comics and pop culture, as you might have guessed. You can follow us on Twitter at @bitchesoncomics and on Instagram at @bitchesoncomics. Our website is, brace yourself, bitchesoncomics.com. If you go there, you can listen to any of our episodes, and we've got other shit that we put on tabs. I don't remember what it is. I am in charge of updating the website, however, so good luck.
Thanks for the heads up. I'll go to this website now. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also support the podcast by joining us on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/queerspec to learn more.
I'm Sarah Century, and you can find me at www.sarahcentury.com and Twitter and Instagram. Still Sarah Century on those.
I'm Essie Fleenor. You can learn more about me at essiefleenor.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @SE_Fleenor.
I'm Monica Estrella Negra, and you can find me at www.audreysrevenge.com or on Twitter at @AudreyRevenge.
Bitches on Comics is recorded by Kate Warner, who plays in the band Church Fire. You can find them at churchfiremusic.com. Our music is recorded by Katie Taylor, who plays as Earth Control Pill. You can find her music at earthcontrolpill.bandcamp.com.
Bitches on Comics is recorded in Denver, Colorado. We want to recognize the indigenous peoples who have inhabited and do inhabit this land. The Arapaho Nation, the Ute Nation, the Cheyenne Nation, and others who have been erased from our history and collective memories through colonization.